Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Patreon episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, who is with me this evening.
Hello, it's Jay, still sitting in the same position I was when we recorded the last one. Are we allowed to talk about that, or is this? Are we losing the illusion of?
Is it like SmackDown and Raw? You can't talk about one on the other.
Is that what this is?
Yeah, this is. This is SmackDown, right? The cooler one.
Is SmackDown the cooler one?
Yeah.
Well, it was back in the day.
Yeah, SmackDown is better.
I sort of stopped.
That was the Rock show, man.
I sort of stopped paying attention when they split SmackDown. I think the last pay per view I paid attention to was the Royal Rumble with Rikishi taking out Too Cool.
2000. I think that was 2000.
Is that when it was?
Something like that.
Mae West.
Yeah, the bikini competition.
Mae West?
No, not Mae West.
Mae Young.
Mae Young. Mae West is a very old actress. And Mae Young is a very, ironically, a very old woman. Who else is with me?
Joe and Matt are here as well.
Matt, that was your cue.
Was it? Sorry, I think I garbled out there. Yeah, my name's Matt, and I'm coming through you, the internet, via the power of the internet.
You're doing what?
I'm coming at you through the power of the internet.
This is the paid-for, exclusive, triple X content. We've already talked about naked boobies at wrestling, and Matt's talked about coming at you.
Is this X-rated?
No, it's not X-rated.
Seriously.
Yes. So, Joe Branton's here as well.
Hi.
Hello. thank you so much. If you're hearing this, that means you have contributed to... Well, two ways you're hearing this. You've contributed... In fact, three ways of you're hearing this. You've contributed to our Patreon, which, firstly, we thank you very much. You'll get at least an extra half an hour of content. Plus, you'll get your name... If you go to the top tier, your name will get a mention on the regular podcast, which we forgot to do this week, but we'll tag it on at the end. The other way you could do it is by pirating this episode or perhaps getting it off one of the other Patreons. Please don't do that. Chuck us a dollar a month or something, or $5 a month. That will get you access to this. But if you pirate it, whatever, we're not mad at you. Or three, there's some sort of nuclear disaster and this is in some vault somewhere and you're listening to it 2,000 years in the future. If you are... You probably should be doing better things like getting a sick mohawk and cooking beans on a fire.
Are you talking about Fallout?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
something like that. Okay. I'm just thinking about like the voice recorder tapes you get in Fallout that are like, oh yeah, we did this and this guy's done this in the vault and that. I do kind of
sometimes think that like this podcast is like, you know how when you're playing Grand Theft Auto or something and you go to the television and then flick through the channels and you're like, oh wow, I never knew that someone had spent time recording like 24 hours of original content for this TV. This is what we are. We're going to end up on a video game somewhere one day in the future.
Do you remember in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, you could go and watch a Ricky Gervais stand-up?
I do remember that. Was actually what I was thinking of whilst...
And it was like a whole new set, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was specifically for GTA they did it for.
Was it San Andreas or was it GTA 4?
It was GTA 4 because it was... what's his name?
Ricky Gervais?
No, I was thinking of the main character in it. I can't remember his name.
I'd like to take
Nico Bellic.
Nico Bellic.
I'd like to congratulate you all at getting 4 minutes into this podcast without mentioning anything to do with what this podcast is about.
Well, we said guitar nerds at the beginning with guitars and nerds.
Yeah, the first bit is the guitars. This bit's the nerds bit. This is where we just talk about... When I first played Grand Theft Auto,
This podcast is going to be maybe even more about guitars than the regular, but, you know, at the beginning we can hang out. I've got myself a cup of tea in between episodes.
I've finished mine.
Did anyone see Chicago Music Exchange in the States have a 1960 Les Paul for sale?
Yeah, it's pretty mad.
$250,000. But it's got like a massive chunk out of the top. Like,
have you seen how well it's repaired? Like, you can barely tell. Like, it's done so well.
It looked okay. Like, you could definitely tell.
I don't know. I think that guitar looks awesome.
$250,000.
For a damaged guitar.
If you've got that sort of money, like,
you can probably buy one that's not damaged.
Well, no, you couldn't. That's the thing, isn't it?
I saw a collector's choice today. They've done a collector's choice called I think it's called Black Burst or Black Beauty.
Okay.
And it's 59 Les Paul with probably one of the most remarkable flame tops I've ever seen, completely sprayed in black.
Is that the Cobra Burst or the?
No. This one's called Black Burst, which is based on a real 59 that someone basically resprayed. Basically, a lot of times or a couple of times in 59 and 60, people wanted a black Les Paul, but they didn't actually make a black Les Paul. So all they did was take a normal 59 and spray it black. So then as it started to wear away over 50, 60 years, the flame top started to come through underneath.
That's
so this
awesome.
Collector's choice comes with a photo of the guitar before they spray it as well. And this guitar's just got like an amazing flame top on it.
Just put black over it.
Yeah, basically. I've seen one called the Rattler, which is in like a cobra skin lacquer.
I'm not sure about the Rattler.
Do you reckon it'll be real? Do you reckon it's real snake that they've lacquered over?
That'd be weird. Imagine if. I know we talked about, like, in the regular episode this week, we talked a little bit about, like, Italia guitars. Didn't they do, like, a fake snakeskin top?
No, that's the. There's a Dan Electro alligator skin.
I think there's an Italia as well.
Italia did do a wrap, a leatherette wrap.
We talked about this in the episode.
We did, yes.
Joe's talking, I sort of switched off.
Yeah.
There was that master built Gretsch that they finished in cowhide.
What?
It's like a 6128, like a power jet, with hand tooled leather binding. I think Custom Shop at some point in the 90s did a leather bound telly that came with a matching set of cowboy boots.
Yes, I'm in. I want it. That's just reminded. We'll dive in some questions in a minute. But Jay, that's just reminded me of. There's a guy that we used to know that had a telly that had tassels.
It was an Esquire. See, I played the. It was an Esquire. It was a 59 Esquire, and it looked amazing. Double bound 59 Esquire in like Fiesta Red, I think it was.
Wasn't it like a Gretsch Orange? I seem to.
Maybe, but he just one day went, you know, this would look better if it was covered in leatherette and had tassels. And I think he put, like, it was like a crocodile skin.
Yeah.
He put, like, crocodile skin on it. And then, like, you know, like, poppers that you use to keep your coat on. Like, he poppered on some...
Poppadoms. he used some poppadoms.
he put some poppers on to attach some tassels. And I played it once. And it was just, like, the most ridiculous thing I've ever done. And I've had some bad fashion choices.
I can't remember. I'm sure it's in like an 80s music video. It might even be like Richie Sambora, where they've got tassels up the underside of the neck. So when you go up and down, like, your hand slides up and down through the tassels.
That was Paul Gilbert.
Of course it was Paul Gilbert. The only man who can shred on a double bass.
He's the best one.
You should get like chimes as opposed to tassels.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
chimes
in the key of the fret.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, you tune the guitar to like an open G or something, and then you have the chimes, all the notes in that scale. So you're just literally sliding up and down.
Can you imagine just being like, right, listen, I need to speak to John Cruise. This is really important. John, I've got an idea. Bear with me.
Tassels.
But chimes.
So Alex says, best gear to make a guitar not sound like a guitar. J Cross, let's go to you first.
Tassels.
Right, I've got this idea, guys. best gear to make a guitar sound not like a guitar. Well, my first piece of advice would be put down that guitar and plug in a random tone generator.
I knew you were going to say.
Yes. This isn't really my sort of area because, I mean, I can barely play the guitar.
I mean, just get J Cross's fingers.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one thing, is learn how to play like me. I'm sort of really into very, very, very long, dark reverbs.
Okay.
And I think if you can get that real full-on dark reverb and just use that, just wet signal, very weird. That Eventide Space, the black hole setting on the Eventide Space where you just sort of disappear into
space
into a black hole. But no, this isn't really my area, to be honest. I don't know.
Funnily enough, this is virtually this very statement is exactly the method that Omar Rodriguez Lopez uses as his mantra for writing. He is constantly on the hunt to make his guitar not sound like a guitar. He has some very pretentious interviews. Actually, the very interview that he did when he was down in Brighton, he did an interview with Jamie from Boss.
Yep.
When I popped down to watch his band Bosnian Rainbows play, and I got him to sign one of his signature Ibanezes at the time, he did an interview where he was talking about how he doesn't view himself as a guitarist but as an artist, and the guitar is just the medium by which he communicates that, and so he is looking to make sounds, not to make guitar sounds, so he looks for weird sounds on account of that. And the bulk of the pedals on his board, despite he obviously uses a wide range of Boss stuff, which is why Boss were talking to him, but Catlin Bread do a wonderful range of really, really odd pedals.
Yeah.
That I guess the most famous of which would be the Rainbow Machine.
Is it Catlin Bread or is it Earthquaker Devices?
Oh, sorry, it's Earthquaker, isn't it? Yeah, so he uses both Earthquaker and Catlin, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, the Rainbow Machine is Earthquaker Devices.
Yeah.
But I have to say, for an absolutely bonkers pedal, they have another one called the Arpanoid, which is a which is an arpeggiating, it's like a random arpeggiating pedal.
Yeah.
And the Rainbow Machine, which is kind of undefinable. Matt, could you explain the Rainbow Machine?
No.
Can you?
I don't know. So you can't control the scale, but it plays like a diminished scale. I think that's right, isn't it? And it has a button that just says magic, and I think it just does some sort of weird trail,
just like self oscillating thing.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. I was gonna buy one, and then I was like, actually, for me, it's almost like, even for me, I was like, would I actually use?
Well, this is it. There is no practical use for it, and I think that's
kind of the point of this question.
I guess. Exactly. Yeah.
Because I mean, if you want a pedal that doesn't sound like a guitar, surely you would just go down the synth route and buy like a GR55 and
true.
Turn your guitar into a trumpet.
I think you could probably save yourself some money and get one of the Moore Bit Crushers.
That would be a cheap option, yeah. I guess. They're a cool little pedal. Like I was saying, that I've forgotten the name of the manufacturer. Now, Joe, have you got the iPad up and running there? Can you just have a look for a pedal called the BitQuest? Because it's the best sounding pedal I've heard for ages. I also really like that Montreal Assembly delay that we talked about in this week's regular Guitar Nerds episode. That is a top sounding pedal. But this,
BitQuest.
Dr. Stein.
Doctor Who?
Dr. Scientist is the...
Dr. Scientist.
The BitQuest, yeah?
Yeah.
Una Odyssea en Minecraft con Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, exactly that.
An Odyssey in Minecraft with Bitcoin.
Yes, exactly that.
Or is it option two?
It's probably option two. It's the Dr. Scientist, which is the best pedal brand ever. Or best name, anyway. BitQuest. And it just sounds like old computer games, weird, like... Bit crushers, weird like pitch stuff. It's really, really cool. But I think they've either stopped making them or they only make them in small batches because I can't find anywhere to buy one. Matt,
it's quite cool actually. I think they do like a load. So it's got a flanger, a filter, a bit crusher, a reverb, a filter, a ring modulator, a pitch shifter, and a delay. And you can have a clean version or a distorted version of each one of those effects.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
They're all, it's not just like a regular delay as well. It's got like some sort of like bit crusher built into the delay, I think. Like, it just does weird stuff. And if you want to make your guitar sound like not traditional guitar sounding, then that pedal just is awesome. Nick says, hi guys, could you discuss boutique amps for home use, please? Did we do this question last week, actually? Did anything come up last week? I think you were talking about...
I don't know. I don't think so. It's a bit of a weird one, though, because, like, boutique amps for home use, so you're basically just a more expensive Blues Junior.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, well, I suppose the thing is, with boutique, it's nice to have something that's hand-wired, but if you still can't... I was talking to just before we started recording this, and I was just mentioning to Jay about these Tone King amps that I've been lucky enough to try, and they do one called the Falcon, which is basically a Princeton copy, but it's got an inbuilt attenuator, and it looks like an old 50s TV.
Okay.
So all the controls are down one side, and they're really cool because they're like, you know, like a Fender Princeton, nice and clean, unless you crank them all the way up, fairly low powered. But I don't know why you'd necessarily need to go for like a boutique amp. I suppose if you want home use, I'm assuming he means he just wants something lower powered.
Yeah, so like little 1 watt and 5 watt and things like that. Is there anything that jumps out at you as being like particularly awesome from the kind of boutique world?
Well, I mean, I use a brand of amp called Morgan Amplifications, built by a guy called Joe Morgan in America.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Which passed on to me by a guy who's on the Facebook group. And yeah, it's basically it's a Fender Princeton copy with a reverb, and for me that's the sort of best amp for home use, because it's only 12 watts, so you get a better sound at sort of lower volumes, full spring tank, and you know, you always get the benefit of it being hand wired and having that sort of extra touch of class compared to maybe something you can just buy off the shelf that might cost £300,
and just looking awesome as well. Morgan stuff is pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this sounds better than any other Fender I've ever plugged in. And it's a similar design in terms of its circuit, but it's the nicest sounding little combo I think I've ever plugged in.
Failing that, Blues Junior, I guess.
Well, I mean, lower down the line, I would say something like one of the hand-wired Vox AC4s is surely an excellent way to go.
I mean, not boutique-y really, but I mean, you know,
still hand-wired. I mean, if we consider what defines a boutique, then you know, and I think that's sort of
nice bit of wallpaper, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
AC4 definitely. And yeah, I just think get a Blues.
Isn't there a Marshall 1958, like 2x10, 12-watt combo they do, which is all hand-wired?
I still think,
because like people would say, oh, Marshall's not boutique, but like if it's all hand wired, like,
do you remember those tiny little Gibson amps, those little 1 watt Gibson amps,
the GA, no,
yeah, GA1, I think, yeah,
which ones were they?
Yeah, GA1. It was the GA1, yeah, yeah,
they
come
look
on,
like a little tweed,
yeah, they look amazing. How about that for some, I mean, incredibly expensive for what they were, but sounded amazing and look amazing and are incredibly rare. Get a Gibson amp.
What about the, I think they're discontinued now, but what about the little Eric Clapton Vibrachamps?
They were amazing.
Yeah, they were great, really good amps.
That was one of the first demo videos we ever shot, Matt, the little Vibrachamp, and it sounded wicked.
It reminded me of that little Vox I used to have, and I really wish I still had that.
yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Paul says, nerds, I've failed you. Started off with the intention of buying something tasty to satisfy the got a new job and just been paid after 5 weeks of no money gas, and ended up with a gas-powered barbecue, a Strymon, a large box for locking away all of my toolboxes. How did that happen? Send me some bargains. What should he go for? If he's got some money, but not a huge amount of money, what is the biggest bargain that you can think of at the moment? Jay?
Go, run with it, Matt. Run with it.
I think quite a lot of stores are doing TC Electronic Mojos and Dark Matters for £36.
Yeah, 39 quid, I think.
Yeah,
maybe it's,
I don't
36.
Know if it's an end of line thing. I don't know if they're being discontinued, but I mean, you should own a Mojo at least. You don't own one already at £39. Now is the chance to own two. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything else that's kind of particularly jumped out recently. But
there are some interesting,
because they were £100, weren't they?
Yeah.
When I bought mine, it was.
There are some interesting FSR Fender amps that are coming out at the moment. They seem to be expanding their weird finishes. So we've got like a grey tweed Blues Junior has just hit the market, I think.
Nice.
I think there are a couple of other bits as
well,
aren't they? There's
the Hot Rod Deluxe Western and the Western Noir.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like a kind of a brown sort of cowboy leather finished hot rod. And what's the Western Noir? It's just a black, same thing, but black, but still like that sort of embossed. I have no idea how else to explain it other than like cowboy print sort of leather. But yeah, I mean, they're cool. You know, Fender seem to be doing loads of like FSR amps at the moment. I think the FSR stuff for Fender is the way to go, because it's your opportunity to own something that's amazing, as you know, a lot of their standard range is, but get something a little bit different that you know they will only run with for a little while and then it will just be gone. Great way to keep Fender stuff that holds its money.
I think there's I think PRS in their SE range have discontinued a load of colours in the Tremonti range. So I think like loads of the natural ones and the tobacco ones are like mega cheap at the moment in some places. which is a great guitar if you don't want a Les Paul or an Epiphone, or you don't want to spend the money on sort of one of the lower price Gibsons. I think some of those are like $499. But yeah, I think they've discontinued a whole series of SE ones, and they're doing a much, I think they're just doing them as end of line. So I think a few places have got those cheap as well.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, another one I've just thought of is the, do you remember those tiny Strats and Tellys that Fender did?
The Modern Players.
The Modern Player one.
Are they cheap?
Short scale.
Well, they've discontinued the Telecaster.
What?
And the Strats, they still are still about, and a few shops seem to have those, but they're going for like
250 quid, wasn't it?
Yeah. Really?
That, which is crazy that you can own something with Fender on the headstock for 250 quid for a start.
Weren't they like 349 or something?
Well, I think they were £300 on the nose when they came out, but. And I know it's only 50 quid.
They were 301.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, I remember that for some reason.
It was, 301, weird. But, for £250-odd, I think, what an incredible opportunity to own something. A Fender guitar, you know, not a Squire, for £250.
Yeah.
I just think that's wicked. Comes strung with 11s. You know, Gretsch pickup in the bridge. I think that's damn cool.
It's not Gretsch pickup. It's a Guild pickup.
Oh, a Guild pickup.
Yes.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, I said Guild.
Oh, okay.
That's definitely not. Let's do another few questions. Richard says, I think the podcast needs an in-depth discussion of English versus American pronunciation of the word boogie, as in Mesa Boogie or Boogie Nights. Obviously, this is a word of American origin. Why can't you lot pronounce it correctly?
I'm assuming. How are we supposed to pronounce it?
Boogie. Mesa Boogie.
How do we pronounce
Mesa
it?
Mesa Boogie.
Oh, we're supposed to not pronounce the double O's correctly.
Boogie.
Oh, Bogie. Right. Because the Americans can't get their heads around the vowels. They struggle with too many vowels in words. That's why they misuse out of words like colour.
Mesa Boogie or Mesa Boogie.
Boogie. It's definitely boogie. The word's boogie. It's got double O in
boogie
it.
Boogie sounds better. It makes it sound better.
That's a boogie. That does sound. I mean, that said.
I mean, they are an American company, and if they pronounce it boogie, then I guess that's where we are. But
I mean, we're in the same place with Moog, obviously.
Moog. Not quite the same place. Slightly different pronunciation
but still just a completely nuts American pronunciation of a double O.
Is he American?
He is Bob American.
Moog?
Yeah, he's American, and
the
he pronounces
is
it Moog.
Moog, so. Moog was supposed to rhyme with Vogue. That was where it came from. He was like, that's how you're supposed to pronounce it.
But the Mooga Fooga doesn't work as the Mooga Fooga.
Yeah, I know, but that's how they pronounce it. That's how he pronounced his own name.
Fair enough.
I say Moog, but
someone should have told him.
Moog.
Double O makes an O sound.
But
O?
Is his name Bob Moog and the company is called Moog?
No.
No, his name's Bob Moog.
And the company's called Moog. It's just us that say Moog because we can pronounce double O's.
That's very weird. That's very weird. Anyway, so yeah, but boogie. I think I'm sticking with boogie.
Yeah, I'll go with boogie.
Sounds a bit better.
I saw an infographic today that showed how each country in the world that plays the game of football, how each of them pronounce the thing that they call it. And so like in
Fußballspielen.
In Germany it's Fußball, in Spain it's Football, in England, in the UK it's football. In every country in the world, it's football, except in the US where it's soccer. So it's boogie.
All right. So that's scientific
alienating
proof.
Our American market there. Wonderful.
Boogie it is. Jeff says, what are the best product videos you've seen, and what do you look for in a new product demo video? Matt
that's
Knight,
a good question.
You watch a lot of videos. What do you look for, and what who are the best ones?
I tell you, as we mentioned earlier, Chicago Music awesome videos. They really go to town and doing like some.
You broke
some
up a bit
stuff.
There, Matt. Chicago Music Exchange, I take it.
Yeah, they do some really good videos. They're shot really well. They kind of go really in depth. To me, like it's not so much necessarily that someone has to be a good player if they're doing making a video. They just kind of have to like present the product really well. Like, I don't like, you get some people who like try really hard and that just comes across really badly. But there's a guy called Mike Hermans who does videos for Primax Vintage in the States. And he's like an amazing player. And like every time I watch his demo videos, I'm like, it makes me want the pedal. Yeah, they're pretty good. And also a guy called Brett Kingman in Australia. He does some really good videos as well. But just like people just explain the product well and just kind of don't go too fancy with their playing. Just kind of really show off the product. Because there's so often there's like, do you remember Gearwire? Who used to do those, and they used to do like a 10-minute segment about unboxing the pedal. And it's like, I don't really care about it being unboxed. I just want to hear you plugging it in.
Yeah. I've always struggled with the unboxing concept as being something that's in any way interesting for people to watch. I kind of agree with you, Matt. The Chicago Music Exchange, I just think for the way their videos look, the way they showcase the instruments that they film, the lighting for the videos, everything makes those instruments look as good as they could possibly look. And to be honest, the question is, you know, about what the best product videos are that we've seen. And I think Chicago Music Exchange, just because they pick the best products, they have such interesting guitars and basses and rarities and oddities and things that you don't get to see anywhere else, and they showcase them, you know, really gorgeously. So I think for me, they, you know, I think they're great.
I like Knobs. The YouTube channel Knobs is really, really good. They just do pedals. They do it in a style where they do like little weird like infographic stuff and like little fun stuff next to they just play through the pedal basically, and they'll put up like funny text and like, oh, so I was watching that Montreal Assembly delay looper and stuff. And for some reason, they just had an orange just rolling into shot every now and then, and it would just then roll out of shot again. It's
kind of clever, really, because like pedal videos really are very boring. Like, because you are literally watching a screen with a pedal that doesn't do anything, and sometimes a guy's playing guitar in like the corner, and that just makes it more enjoyable to watch. And then it kind of makes you like a little bit more into the product.
They're kind of like, the Knobs videos are like if Wes Anderson did like pedal videos. They're really good. They're like kind of cutesy and fun, but they really show off the product. And they always do stuff that's kind of like got a bit of a kind of ambient vibe and a bit glitchy. So they kind of work with that aesthetic, really. They work really, really nicely. Jay, is there anything that you've seen that kind of...
I'm a lot less into the technicality side of things and more into impulse decisions. And therefore, I think actually I prefer Instagram for that sort of thing. I really like the guy who does Mike and Mike's
Guitar Bar.
I know he isn't particularly a demo. A demo guy, but like I just really like the way that he sort of shows off the stuff that he's got. It's just like he'll take a really cool picture and then essentially just spend like a paragraph just being like, look how cool this is. Look how cool this is. This is really cool. You can't play it because it's here and it's on. You're looking at this on the internet, so don't worry. It's just really cool. And like I've actually learned a lot of stuff just by sort of going back and being like, well, what the hell is this? And just going back and looking through in that way. But I follow a few other Instagram accounts where, you know, review type things, and I like
review type things.
And I like really quick videos just being like, listen to this, if you like the sound of it, just go and find out more about it, like that. I think Instagram's really good for that. It satisfies my impulsive short term attention span for learning about things.
Can you remember how to, or do you know how to pronounce his Instagram account?
It's
It's Pushin.
I was trying to look it up for someone earlier today, and I couldn't.
I'm sure it's Pushien.
Let me find it.
He's a really good dude. I think we're going to try and get him on the podcast at some point. He kind
really
of
cool.
expressed interest in coming on, so that would be
Pushien.
Yes,
he just
he posts up pictures of Jaguars and Jazzmasters mainly.
Yeah, he seems really really cool. He's in LA. Just seems really like just seems like a totally cool fella.
He's good. He's got a very big ginger beard.
He does.
That looks awesome. He did that Weezer Quest thing where they went to like recreate all of the instruments from that
classic
Weezer.
Following
it's good
from.
Stuff. Good yeah. stuff. Anyway, chaps, we are over the half an hour mark, so let's wrap this up. Thanks so much for listening to this episode, and thanks so much for contributing on the Patreon. You are helping to kind of keep this going and occasionally buy us, you know, pizza and maybe a beer or two. Much appreciated. Do go and spread the word, and make sure that you're signed up to the Guitar Nerds mailing list, because from about 10 days of doing this, when this podcast goes out, we're going to be giving away a Bigfoot King Fuzz pedal to one person randomly selected from the mailing list. So head over to the site, guitarnerds.net, where you can find out more about that and sign up for the mailing list and all that stuff. You know where to find us. Patreon.com/guitarnerds, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerds forum, or on Twitter @guitarnerds. I'm on Twitter @mark_random. Jay is on Twitter @jybn1.
Hello.
Matt is @matt_90, and Joe is @joseph_900. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Cheers.
Farewell. Yeah.